Welcome back to Wildcat Wednesday on the Bear Down Podcast. Today, we will hear from Arizona baseball juniors Tony Pluta and Casey Hintz, Arizona football general manager Geiska Crowley, and Arizona track and field junior Tapanisa Hevea. We're starting off with our Omaha Cats. Arizona baseball punched their ticket to the Men's College World Series with a comeback 4-3 victory over UNC in the Chapel Hill Super Regional this past weekend. We're checking in with pitchers Casey Hintz and Tony Pluta now. Tony and Casey, thank you guys for joining us on Wildcat Wednesday. And of course, congratulations on punching your ticket to the College World Series. I know at the beginning of the season, this is the goal that pretty much every team has. And I'm sure it's been something that you have both been dreaming about since you were young and playing the game. What are the emotions like right now?
Oh, I mean, honestly, I don't even know what to think. It's been a dream my whole life to go to Omaha, and I went when I was 14, so I was playing a travel ball tournament down there, and it's just the environment there isn't crazy. It's just things you can't really picture. So I'm really excited to be going.
Yeah, I have a, very similar feeling. I went there when I was 10, and I got to experience the games out there. So I'm just excited more than anything just to be able to live that experience. So
Yeah, that was exactly what I was going to ask you guys next, both being from Illinois. I know that's kind of driving distance. If you guys mentioned that you went there before, what's a core memory that you guys have from either being there in person and watching or growing up and watching it on TV?
I would just say I went there and I got a home run ball there in BP, so that's probably one of my memories there.
Awesome.
And I mean, I just got to watch some great games. I remember at least one team was Virginia, and they were unbelievable that year. So I got to see, some really top of the line teams play. So that was really fun for me.
So cool. Okay, I want to dive more into the Chapel Hill Super Regional too, starting with just Friday, following up on that loss. What was the message amongst the team that allowed you guys to come back with so much fight on Saturday?
Yeah, I would say we've been in that situation plenty of times this year. Like we fall behind and we just come back. And I think losing 18-2, it's like we didn't do that all year, and like it kind of was like a fluke thing. And so it's just like flush it and go to the next game. And we knew if we beat them on Saturday, we were beating them on Sunday.
Yeah, and our coaches really just stressed believe in ourselves, believe in the team, because like Casey said, that was more of a fluke than anything. Like we weren't going to change anything drastically. Just keep going to the next game and we'll be fine.
And you guys were that 1-2 punch Saturday and Sunday on the mound for Arizona. On Saturday, you both threw about 50 pitches. What was the recovery and preparation process like Saturday afternoon to allow you guys to come back out on Sunday and each get an inning in?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, the big thing was hydrating, eating, because especially the humidity out here kind of, I would say, took a bigger toll on both of our bodies from that. And then James, our trainer, did a great job too, working with us and making sure that our bodies were ready to go for the next day.
Yeah, that's perfectly said. It was pretty much just the hydration, refueling, and then getting that training in that we needed.
And there were earlier games. I know it was noon y'all's time, but it was 9 o'clock here. Was there anything that you guys did from that Big 12 tournament in that early morning game there that helped you guys this last weekend with that earlier start?
I would just say, I mean, getting up and just getting your body moving,
Yeah.
Like waking up and just kind of lollygagging through the morning and just not really being ready to play is kind of what killed us the first day. Like we kind of just showed up like it was a normal night game. Like we had been waiting to play all day, and that's just not the approach that we did. We needed to wake up and get ready to play.
Yeah, I think that's well said.
Gotcha. And then Sunday's game, Casey, you guys take the lead. Then you go out at the bottom of the eighth. What was your approach as you took the mound that inning?
Yeah, I was just going in there to attack hitters, execute my pitches in my margins. And I mean, I can't really control anything once it leaves my hand. So just having all the confidence in the world in what I'm throwing and trusting what Coach Vance is calling is really the big thing to going out there and having success.
And then Tony, you follow up in the ninth, slam the door shut on them. What was going through your head that inning?
I a lot similar to what Casey said. I wanted to, just attack the zone and try to get some weak contact. I knew that they, they were starting to feel it too. It's their season on the line as well. So I really just wanted to get in the zone, make the hitters beat me, and they weren't able to do that, and we were able to get the win.
Yeah. Was there anything from Saturday's game and being in that win or go home pressure filled situation as well that you took from Saturday and applied to Sunday?
Yeah, I would say that, we've kind of had that feeling for the past couple weeks now because, before the Big 12 tournament, we were a little worried about getting into a regional, and we were like, all these games are really, really important, and especially in Houston. So we've had that feeling ever since the Houston series and moving on. So it's been great to be in those pressure situations. So I think that's prepared us really well for this weekend and in Omaha.
That's so true, yeah. And then I was excited to have you both on today because you guys played high school baseball together, so there's that connection too. I'd love to hear more about just your recruiting process and coming to Arizona. Who committed or started that recruitment process first?
So I was the one that committed to Arizona first. So I was in November, and we had a local scout that really helped us out in terms of recruiting, and he knew Trip Couch, our recruiting coordinator, and that's kind of just how it all fell into place. And Casey can explain his stuff.
Yeah, I kind of just fell into place after that. I was committed to a junior college, and the scout that he's talking about reached out to Tripp and was like, "I don't think you should be going to a junior college." And so that connection kind of started in late March. It was about spring break. And then I came on my visit in the first week of April, and I committed the next day. So, I mean, it happened pretty fast, and I was happy to be going here. So.
Yeah, what was it specifically that sold you guys on Arizona?
For me, it was the combination of academics and athletics. Just because, Arizona has a great engineering program, and it was a great opportunity for me. I was just able to keep playing the game that I love and pursue a degree that I really wanted to pursue.
Yeah, I would say Arizona's always been a place that I've wanted to go, especially because the weather from the Midwest. It's not fun playing in the cold. I mean, we've gone there a couple times this year, and it's not fun to pitch in and not fun to play in. So the weather is definitely one, and then the coaching staff was just great.
Do you guys have a core memory from high school baseball that sticks out to you when you think back from that time?
I would say just our senior season in general was ridiculous because we were the number one team in the state for most of the season, and I think we lost like three or four games, and it was just really fun. The group of guys, it wasn't like a star-studded lineup. Like we were the only, were we the only D1? We
Yeah.
might have had one more, but it was just a bunch of guys that loved playing together and just really played well together. So it was just a fun group to be around.
Yeah, I would kind of say the same thing. Just like that whole senior season, I think we ended up 35-3. Just, I mean, he didn't end up catching that year, but I think just that kind of connection of us both going to the same school, like we knew where we were going. We were able to build that connection all of high school. And so I think just playing together for 4 years and then coming here together is probably the main memory.
Love that. And then you both talked about or touched a little bit on academics, especially you, Tony, and that was another similarity that you guys have. You both were just named to the CSC Academic All District team. Congratulations on that. Tony, how do you feel about the nickname Professor Shutdown? I've seen that tossed around recently.
No, I think it's fun. It's a little goofy, but I love it. I just love to. It's funny. I think it's great.
Yeah, and you mentioned that aerospace engineering degree and that influenced you coming to Arizona. What sparked your interest in studying that?
I was just always interested in flight from a young age. I did a little bit of a bunch of flying when I was younger. Me and my parents would travel a little bit, and I was always fascinated with planes and just takeoffs and landings. So that's kind of what got me into it.
Gotcha. And then, Casey, you're studying business and Eller, the school business here at Arizona. That's no joke either. How do you balance academics and athletics?
Yeah, I would just say time management, creating like a schedule each week and what I know I need to get done versus what our baseball schedule is for the week, and just making sure like whether it's an off day or it's a shorter practice that like those are the days that I'm doing the majority of my work, so that when it gets to a game day or a longer practice day, like I'm not stressing over what I have to do when I get home. So yeah, I mean Eller's been it was tough this semester, but I think I did a good job kind of managing all the work and like kind of keeping the stress levels low with it.
Nice. Okay, and then the last little segment I wanted to do with you guys today, I did it last week with Brendan and Aaron, and it's just kind of a team superlative who's most likely to get to know the roster and the team better. So my first question is, who's most likely to be studying on the bus or on the plane for an away trip?
I would definitely say Tony's.
Yeah,
I
it's
think
probably me.
yeah.
I had a feeling it was one of you two. Who on the team is the most superstitious?
I would say, I mean, the coaches count because Chip for sure.
Yeah, it's Chip.
Chip for sure, but if I had to choose a player, I mean, Mason's pretty superstitious. Other than that, I don't really
Yeah.
know, but Chip for sure.
Chip for sure.
Why do you guys say Chip? What is there anything he does this season or since your time playing with him that you're like, oh wow?
It's just he's very like methodical with everything he does. So it doesn't really change from day to day. So it's just very same every day. So
Okay, who on the team is most likely to know their zodiac sign?
he's Johnson.
Carson Johnson. Sure.
the team probably has the highest Snapchat score?
You think Russell?
Yeah.
Mason Russell for sure.
Okay.
Tyler too, I don't know.
Yeah.
But they're both TikTok guys, so I mean,
And
definitely high on Snapchat too.
then last one, who on the team's most likely to end up on a reality TV show?
TJ, not even a
Yeah,
question.
TJ.
TJ Adams, by far.
Which one?
Don't even know.
Don't even know. Dancing with the Stars, I could see him doing that. Some kind of something like that.
Nice. Well, thank you guys for your time this week. We can't wait to follow you guys in Omaha and cheer you guys on. So, congratulations and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up, we're getting an inside look into Arizona football's recruitment department and are talking official visits with the team's general manager, Gaiska Crowley. Gaiska, thank you for joining us. You guys are officially halfway through official visit season, and so we thought it'd be fun to get an inside look into what the season of recruiting looks like for you guys. I want to start though at the very beginning of the recruitment process. How do you guys profile and what exactly are you looking for, and how does you balance that between you, your recruitment staff, and also the coaches?
Yeah, I think it really starts with the high school coach, right? Obviously, we want to recruit players that come from great high schools that have a great foundation of football, a great academic foundation, and then a great character foundation. So our coaches have different times on the road that they're able to go out and visit with the high school coaches. So they'll have what are called prospect lists, which is kind of their top guys at each position. Those coaches will relay that information back to me and my staff. So we'll watch film. Try to find as much verified measurables, height, weight, speed, if they're a two sport or a three sport athlete, get their academic transcripts, try to get as much information on the kid as possible. Then we'll have our coaching staff watch them. It usually starts with the position coaches and then kind of goes up from there. And then if that's a player that we've identified athletically that's kind of fits what we're looking for, then we dive back in getting to know them and their families. And then the hope is when the coach goes back on the road to the high school, we kind of have all the information, and then the coach kind of starts building the relationship with the prospect at that time.
Film is so synonymous with recruiting. Do you have an estimate of how much film is watched between you, the coaches, your staff, and you also have a large intern class that's helping dive through all of that too?
Yeah, I would say easily, a couple hundred kids a day, with, like you said, with the film being digital now. It's not like back in the day where people were mailing DVDs or even tapes, so definitely the volume is way different. A lot of kids will have what are called highlights online, where it's kind of their best 20 or 25 or 30 plays. It's almost like we joke, it's almost like a movie trailer, or like that's the very, very beginning. And then we have some softwares that we use that allow us to watch the full games of a prospect. So then we will do our own cut-ups, watching for what the coaches specifically are looking for. So then the coach will watch the highlights, get a kind of see what the best of the kid, and then we'll dive into the cut-ups, and that may be just pass blocking clips or just run blocking clips, depending on what the coach is looking for. But yeah, it's a lot. Fletcher Kelly's our director of scouting, watches a ton of tape. Kamali Akina, our recruiting coordinator, watches a ton of tape, and then obviously the position coaches and their assistants. So it's a lot per day, but there's obviously a ton of kids out there to watch.
And then you talk about that process of narrowing it down, getting to know the guys, watching them in person. So, as you guys get ready for the summer and bring in these official visitors, what's kind of that criteria? And specifically this summer, what were some of those positional needs that you guys were looking for?
Yeah, for us, we have critical factors at each position, which is essentially when I got here is a list that we create at each position of what the position coach is looking for. And it's really kind of our guide through our evaluation process. We have a grading system that the players have to meet certain criteria on the film to get certain grades. But then moving into the official visits, you know, the hope is you've had the kid on campus a couple times. Maybe that was for a game in the fall or a spring practice or the spring game. And then the official visit is kind of a paid-for experience. We're allowed to pay for the kid and a couple family members to come out. We put them in a hotel and kind of wine and dine them a little bit, which is nice. So it's a little bit of a vacation for the parents. But then the kid is in it's about 2.5 days usually, and it's full-on campus tours and housing tours, academics. Obviously a ton of time with our coaching staff and our players. And the hope is that we already know who the player is on the field on the official visit. And when they get here, it's continuing to build the relationship with him and more importantly, the parents. And then nowadays, a lot of kids who are high school juniors, you know, who just finished their junior year, are looking to commit before their senior season. So the end of June, early July, mid-July is really busy in kind of the commitment world, because a lot of the kids want to be done. So we'll have, like you said, you know, close to 60 official visits in the month of June, where the kids come to us and spend, you know, quite a bit of time together, which is always fun.
What exactly is the schedule of events for the weekends? Because a lot of people see on socials, you know, the fun photo shoot stuff or maybe some photos on campus or with the coaches. But what else is going on and what other conversations are being had?
Yeah, we want to spend as much time with them as possible, right? So the visits kind of kick off on Saturday morning with a breakfast where people can kind of start to get to know each other, the families, the coaches. And then within that, they do, you know, they'll do a facility tour. They'll meet with our strength staff, our nutrition staff, our athletic training staff, sports psych, so the parents can kind of see the resources that the kids have when they're here. And then obviously they go over to Cats Academics and meet with Sarah and Andy and the group over there that do a fantastic job. They'll meet with Tobruk Blaine, who's our director of player development, with our Beyond Football program, which is kind of the parallel path of what are the kids' plans, you know, separate from football, and that goes into financial literacy and paying taxes, job placement and internships and stuff. So it's kind of an all expansive thing. And like you said, the photo shoot normally is a highlight. The kids love doing that. They kind of get in all the U of A gear, which is really fun. And it's a good time for the parents to kind of let loose too. And obviously those photos they can have forever, which is cool. And then if they end up coming to U of A, you know, you see the photos as a recruit and then hopefully as a player, like on the field, which is fun. We spend a lot of time with our players. Like, we want our players around the recruits. It's great for them because they kind of want to know what the culture and the feel of the program is. But then I always tell people, like, we're interviewing them too, right? So having our players around them, and then we like to go back to our current guys and say, like, you know, what did you think of so-and-so? And they can kind of give you a little bit of insight too, because we want to make sure, obviously, we're bringing in the right people into the locker room.
Yeah, what do you feel like is Arizona's biggest selling point? You've been at a couple different programs now, and what excites you most when people come on campus that you want to make sure that they get a good feel for?
You know, I think it starts with the city of Tucson is really unique, that it's a college town where people are passionate about the university, but it's not a small city. You know, it really has a large population. So when it comes to those Beyond Football items, you know, job placements and careers, people can find either Tucson or Phoenix or Southern California. Like, there's a ton there for him as a U of A grad. So that's a big focus. And then the rich tradition, obviously, on the field and you know, the great players we've had, you know, currently on the staff, like Chuck Cecil and Ricky Hundley and Brandon Sanders. So they can kind of see the mix of the culture, or the way that Coach Brennan kind of runs his program, Tucson, the city, and then what the U of A can do for the player during college, obviously, but then obviously just throughout his life, all the way, you know, throughout his professional career.
Then I wanted to end it with kind of a loaded question, but just thinking about you have a son. If there's someone out there who's interested in playing college football, but they really don't have the background of this whole recruitment process, where to get started, what's your biggest advice for them?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would think a couple things, like, use your high school coach as a resource, right? Ask him, you know, maybe what camps to go to, or what level they think, you know, of player you are. You know, obviously we all want to play at the highest level we can, but we always tell people, if you've got, you know, a good GPA, you're a good guy off the field, you're a good teammate, and you play at the high school level, like, there's somewhere to play for you, right? It might be Division III, all the way up to, obviously, here, you know, at the U of A. But start with a high school coach, I would say, is a great starting point. The other one, too, is get on as many campuses as you can, whether that be for game day visits or spring visits. Get to know the coaches. That personal touch is always really, really important. And then from like a film perspective, we heavily analyze and focus on multi sport athletes, so we want guys to play two and three sports. So that's a big one for us, is we don't want guys who specialize just in football. We kind of want a well-rounded athlete. So it's a kind of, you know, on the field, you know, things that we're looking for.
Awesome. Yeah, that was Coach Brennan's advice the other day. We were at a caravan and someone asked that and he said grades. Like grades. It's a big starting point. But thank you so much for your time today, Gaiska. I know this is a busy time for you guys and best of luck. We love following Arizona football and all the recruitment progress that you guys are making. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Bear down.
16 members of Arizona Track and Field have qualified for the NCAA Outdoor Track and Field Championships, which will begin today. Joining us from Eugene, Oregon, is thrower Tapanisa Hevea. Tap, welcome to Wildcat Wednesday. Thank you so much for making time for us today. How's Eugene?
Oh, Eugene is amazing. It's such a beautiful place. This is actually my first time being here in Eugene. So, being able to soak up the track town experience is actually amazing, and I'm super ripped to get out there on Thursday to compete.
Yeah, have you been to Hayward Field yet?
Yes, yeah, we went yesterday and today for a little wee shakeout, and it's beyond beautiful. It's, I don't know, a track that's that you would want to come and compete at, because the atmosphere at Hayward is really amazing. I feel like it is one of the tracks that you should come and compete at, just because, I don't know, there's something about Hayward that has like a little sprinkle of magic whenever you either practice or compete at. So, yeah.
Yeah, and it's synonymous with NCs. And so, what were the emotions like as you get off the bus and you arrive? Does it kind of hit you like, oh my gosh, I'm at NCAAs?
Yes, yeah, very much. We came straight to the track, and as soon as we walked in, it was like, oh, we're in nationals now. Like, this is where it is pretty much like game on from now till the day that we compete. It is very much daunting and scary, but I'm, like I said before, I'm super excited to soak up all of that emotion and go big on that stage.
Yeah, so I wanted to ask you about your mindset going into throwing, and you'll be competing in shot put this week. What are you telling yourself as you line up to throw?
Shot put is definitely one of those events where you kind of have to be aggressive. And so every time, even when I'm getting ready, the morning of, I always kind of, you know, daily affirmations. I love to say that I can do this. I am able to throw far. I will do the best that I can. And then hopefully on that day, it is the best. And I usually don't have a number in my head just because I don't want to chase that number, but like I said, I want to get my technique right. So I'll have a nightly routine where I just think of all the things that Coach and I have kind of set out for this week. And then wake up, I have a devotional that I like to read, just because it kind of sets me in a good mindset just to not only go out there and give it my all, but also give the glory to God, just because He paved the way for me, and He gives me the strength to throw far, but also be here today. So I have, it's all over the place, but you know, daily affirmations, prayer, devotional, those are the few things that I like to do. I also like to call my parents and touch base with Coach before I go out there and compete. And it's me and the shot put ring, pretty much, and the shot put too. So going out there, having a good mindset is definitely important. And yeah, that's my routine usually for competing.
And then in the middle of the competition, after you throw and you get back in line and get ready for your next throw, what are you doing? What are you thinking? Are you thinking?
I try not to think. I think just because I do like to overthink things, and one thing that Coach is really good at doing is making me think of something else. If there's music playing, or if I talk to another athlete, like that just puts me in the mindset of like, yes, I'm competing, but I don't need to be too hard on myself because I made it here, and all I have to do is go out there and have fun. So Yeah, I try not to to think too much while I'm in the line, but I'll have like a few songs in my head, or I'll talk to the Lord actually, just because that's one thing that keeps me grounded and allows me to go out there and have some fun while I compete too.
Yeah, I love that. And you've just had a tremendous year. Really, momentum has carried over from the indoor season for you. You started off the year with three consecutive wins, three gold medals. That was insane. What has been key for you this year in starting so successfully and having such a hot start like that?
I definitely think that the preparation leading in from winter break into the indoors was super important. I think I kind of lost a little bit of myself in the sport just because I got so busy and I didn't really prioritize the things I needed to do. And so for this year, my main goal was to get to nationals, whether it was indoors or outdoors. And for me to make it for outdoors was it's such a blessing just because the last time I went to nationals was my freshman year, and that was an amazing, amazing experience. But to be able to grow more in the sport and be able to go to nationals now has changed my perspective. But compared to indoors, I definitely think indoors was a better season than outdoors, just because that transition I kind of had a iffy outdoor season at the start. But I think the momentum and motivation and determination to get to nationals, I think, carried through. And once we hit regionals, I was like, it's all or nothing. We're going to go to nationals one way or another. And, I, with a lot of prayer and a lot of preparation and all that stuff, I think by the grace of God, I made it to nationals for shot put, and I'm super grateful to be here and have the opportunity to compete against the best of the best in the US. And it's super exciting to see how indoors to outdoors carry through. And honestly, I'm super excited to see what happens this week, but also in the coming years too.
Yeah, and you've mentioned you went to nationals as a freshman, and that was for discus, right?
Yes, it was for
Yeah. So
discus.
a different event, but what was a big takeaway from just that experience and that environment that you're going to carry with you this week?
I think trying to soak in all this pressure. I think a lot that first year that I experienced nationals, I think I kind of took the pressure and I was kind of crumbled a little. But I mean, through that experience, I was able to grow as a person and grow mentally, physically, and emotionally to be able to come back and compete again for shot put. I know it's definitely a different event, and I wasn't expecting to come for shot put, but like my dad said, expect the unexpected. And I feel like I'm more motivated and more determined to actually like be up there. And even though I did get through by the skin of it, I'm gonna go out there and have some fun and see if I can throw further and be up there with the girls too.
Yeah, and thinking about your freshman year too, you're from New Zealand. So I'm sure that's just anyone's freshman year in college is so hard. There's so much adjustment. And then you add just the cultural changes being far from home too. When you think back to 3 years ago, in what aspects have you seen yourself grow the most?
I think, like I said, pressure. I always think of, I mean, I don't think of pressure anymore. I just think that, like, it's another. I think my mindset kind of changed from freshman to junior year, just because there were times where it was hard. I couldn't throw to the best of my ability, but in that, I was able to be like, okay, right click, delete, move on to the next throw, and see if I can further my distance. And I think by being able to have a different mindset and a different goal than freshman year. Freshman year, I was just, going through the motions, but I was also determined to make it to nationals, and that worked out and panned out perfectly. But I think now I'm willing to do anything to be on the podium or to be top eight or to be up where these amazing girls are at. But Yeah, like I said, mindset has changed, and I like the fact that whenever something wrong happens, I'm able to adapt to it pretty quickly, and coach and I are able to be like, okay, like let's work on a different thing if my body is not feeling up to it. So I think the adaptability and flexibility between myself and coach and us working well together, I think has helped a lot over the season, and also having an amazing support system and training partners too to help me push to hair too as well.
Yeah, and you're at NCAAs with Yusuf, Zach, and Jesse. I know
Yes.
different events there again, but just that thrower unit, you guys are so close. Can you talk about how encouraging that is? I know they're going to be competing on a different day. Those are the guys that'll compete every other day
Yeah.
from you guys, but just having them there, how motivating is that and encouraging is that too?
It's so motivating. We're all different events, but being able to have them by my side and also like be there to watch them is actually amazing. I get to cheer them on and hope for the best for them too. But being able to have teammates like them to push to get to nationals is insane. And I mean, the fuel that they had over the season to try and make it to nationals, I definitely feel like I kind of caught on to by the time we hit regionals. So I don't know, being able to be out there with them to kill it, to be top eight, top three, is amazing. And I could have not named any other teammates to be out here with other than those guys. They're definitely a fun bunch too. So it's great to have them here at nationals with me too.
Yeah, and talking about the group as a whole, just in season in school, what's some of your favorite activities that you guys do together?
Oh, I mean, I feel like we mostly hang out either at like Mikhail at in the weight room or out on the field at Roy P. Drachman. But I think my favorite moments are definitely in the weight room when we're all super tired, but when the music is still pumping, we're all dancing and all laughing and doing all those jokes. But also like trips together has been super enjoyable. Having a big throw squad is quite an interesting bunch just because we all have different personalities, but to be able to have training partners and people to hang out with and actually know the sport is amazing. And I mean, they're a cool bunch, and I'm super excited to see what the seniors do after after they're done, but also like the returners too. So I know I love the throwers and can, like I said, I can have named any other a bunch of people to hang out with other than them.
Well, I'll let you go because you guys, as you were just telling me before we started this, you got team meetings. Competition starts tomorrow. So can you give us your schedule of events? We can tune in on ESPN and watch you guys.
Yeah, I think tomorrow mostly the boys are going on. I think Jesse's got javelin around 5-ish, and then Zach's at 6:10 for men's shot put, which will definitely be a repro of one. Those two are a good watch out, and I think we have the 4x1 later that day too, as well as Zach Eckstein and for hurdles and Ronaldo for long jump as well. And then for girls, we're also all on Thursday. I'm not till 6:10 for shot put, but we also have Jenica Bosco for long jump, 4x4 as well for semifinals, and then Jade Brown for 100 meters too. So there's a good bunch of us out here. So please tune in because it is going to be an exciting weekend, a week. Yeah.
No, it will be. We're so excited for you guys. We'll be cheering you on. Best of luck to have. That was impressive off the noggin, just the schedule. Like, I didn't expect the times. So I was thinking days. That was
I
good.
mean, it's like I literally was like, honestly, we're mostly like the first 2 days, as well as Yusef. I forgot about Yusef on Saturday, but yeah, no, I like the way that this team is like super close knit. I like know, I need to know because I'm watching all of them, so.
Well, yeah, cheer loud for us here in Tucson. And best of luck, Tap. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Kenzie.
That concludes this week's edition of Wildcat Wednesday on the Bear Down Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Bear down and go Cats.